this person is being called a dictator. We need to figure out what dollar number Bitcoin has to hit so that we move to El Salvador.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've made your decision.
All we know about El Salvador is the gangs.
What was the temperature?
I don't know. Very hot. You also got to learn Spanish, so install Duolingo.
It's Mandana.
And Ian.
Welcome to Flirting with Bitcoin.
Season 3.
That's right. 3 years ago, I tricked Ian into a weekly date night.
I let you trick me so I could teach you about Bitcoin.
Well, it worked. I'm very excited for the halving.
You should be. Bitcoin's about to do what Bitcoin's about to do.
Ooh, okay then. Kian, can we start the show?
Okay. Let's go.
Hey, babe.
Hey, Mandana.
Are you ready for part 2 of our series?
Yes, I am.
So in the first part, it was all about me being pretty surprised by how early we actually are. Because if people in El Salvador like aren't becoming Bitcoiners in waves, then what hope does the rest of the world have?
I don't know. It's going to take time. You know, less than 1% of the planet could be considered Bitcoiners, and that's 15 years. So
we are so early.
Very early.
So today, I want to know all about your trip, babe. I want to know, like, the details. I want to know what it was like getting off the airplane, airport was, like, the thrill you got every time you spent Bitcoin. But before we get into it, let's say hi to our listeners. Hola, Spain.
Namaskar, Nepal.
Guten Tag, Germany.
Hola, Brazil.
Sawadee, Thailand.
Good day, UK.
Good day, Canada.
Hola, Argentina.
Buongiorno, Italy.
Namaste, Bharat, aka India.
Kamusta, Philippines.
Bonjour, France.
Hola, Portugal.
Hello, Indonesia.
Hello, Netherlands.
Konnichiwa, Japan.
Vitam, Poland.
Zadrivet, Bulgaria.
Hola, Venezuela.
G'day, Australia.
Hola, Mexico.
Hey, Nigeria.
And howdy to Texas. What time is it, babe?
The current time is 832-050, and we're approximately 576 blocks from our last recording. And we're also 7,950 blocks until the halving.
And if I gave you one US dollar, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
Today, you can get 1,931 acres, aka Satoshis,
for a dollar. That's low.
It's only going lower.
What about other stuff, babe?
It's only been a couple days since our last recording, so the Satoshi price index hasn't moved that much. But it is down 1.7% or 1.07% actually. So even in a couple days, things got 1% cheaper for Bitcoiners.
Hey, that's true. All right, I'll take it.
But yeah, eggs are 6,100 Satoshis, beef is 6,600 Satoshis. Gas is 4,500 Satoshis, and milk is 28,000 Satoshis for 100 pounds of milk.
So before we get into it, you have some things to talk about. I'm going to hand the mic over to you.
I have my own mic.
I know, but it's, you know, figurative.
Okay.
Because I'm the host.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're my forever guest.
So yeah, first things first, we have a merch store. That's pretty cool. Check it out, store.flirtingwithbitcoin.com. We also have a Telegram group for season 3, t.me/flirtingwithbitcoin. And of course, we have Twitter, Flirting with BTC, Instagram, Flirting with Bitcoin, Noster. There'll be a link in the description because I'm not going to read off NPub. And as always, we have the website, which is www.flirtingwithbitcoin.com.
That should be your homepage. So I don't know why we have to keep telling it to you guys.
No, it's... not a homepage.
Hey, the Satoshi savings calculator is on there.
It is. And I forgot to mention that. We still have that. I need to put that in the notes. But yes, the Satoshi savings calculator.
I know. We have a lot going on.
Yeah. Goals.flirtingwithbitcoin.com for the calculator. Help yourself save in Satoshis instead of dollars and reach your Bitcoin goals.
Wow, that sounded really professional.
I don't know. I just felt...
$29.95 shipping and handling
for $0
in 6 to 8 weeks. Remember, things used to take 6 to 8 weeks to arrive.
Things still take six.
Some
to
things
eight weeks.
Do. Yeah, they do good stuff.
Yeah, probably things you should really want. If it can show up in a day, it's probably worthless.
So, just so our listeners know, we're taking season 3 very seriously.
More serious.
Yes, we've always taken it it seriously, but we are more structured. We're more structured.
Okay.
Look at my husband's judgment seeping in.
Just an opinion.
Just an opinion. But we are, we got a schedule, baby. Like, we got nights we record. I set up management meetings where we talk about everything else. We make sure that we get up everything in. Like, this is the year of the Flirting with Bitcoin podcast.
Glad to know.
Oh, yeah. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Do I have your buy-in?
I'm excited to see what this fully operational Death Star can do.
I mean, if I had more time that I wanted to give, you know, like, we have this like running list of things, and we had our first like management meeting, and the list is longer than, you know, when it started. That before that meeting, like, it's, there's so much to do. There's so much we can do, but
yeah, there's a lot to do.
Yeah. So we're trying. Hey, it's Mandana. We're in season 3, The Halving, and I'm making sure we drop a new episode every week. We are dreaming big for Flirting with Bitcoin, and the only thing standing in our way is time and money. Let me be transparent and talk real numbers. Through Value for Value, our listeners directly paid us 100,000 sats in season 1. Season 2, we made 1 million sats. Of course, now we gotta see if we can 10x again and reach 10 million sats this season. Hashtag relationship goals. If we earn 10 million sats from the work we put into this podcast, it'll be the sign that one of us can do this part-time, maybe even full-time. Send us Bitcoin or shop our merch store. It all helps with the goal. You can also give us an old school shout out on social, listen to us on your favorite podcasting 2.0 app, or make and share clips of the show. Your support in any form is value we appreciate. Go to flirtingwithbitcoin.com/support and let's experience value for value together. Okay, babe, paint the picture for me. You get off the plane, you're at the airport. How are you feeling? Are you super excited to spend money? What was the first thing that you spent money on? It was all Bitcoin, right? Like, on your phone with the Strike app?
Yeah.
I said paint a picture.
I didn't know when you were going to, that seemed to be a wandering.
I had a lot of questions.
That's not a question. That's
I want you to paint a
series of statements.
A picture is worth 1,000 words. So okay. Get to painting.
Okay. So you have to pay an entrance fee. So if you don't have a visa and you're from certain countries, you have to pay an entrance fee into El Salvador. And so they siphoned or shuffled you over into this one line. And so they ring it up. It's $12. And yeah, I said Bitcoin. They flashed a QR code and I used Strike and paid.
How did you feel?
I mean, I expected it. I knew that was going to happen because I've been watching people on Twitter do it. But yeah, it's, when it works, right? Like, I didn't have to have a credit card. I didn't have to, have cash. And technically I could have paid with, all the payments that I made, I could have been making with our Lightning node back at home. Mm-hmm. So like a completely sovereign hardware device sitting in my basement, paying the government of El Salvador at the airport in El Salvador.
Like, no one else knows. It's nobody's business.
I mean, El Salvador knows, but yeah. You know, Google doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, if I, you know, tap to pay or whatever, yeah. Google doesn't know. Apple doesn't know. If you swipe a credit card company doesn't know. I guess if you give them cash, you know, no one knows. But like, no, like Bitcoin, I use Strike for almost everything. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just burning dollars out of existence. But yeah, that was pretty straightforward. And so they gave me this little receipt, go to the other line, handed my passport, and boom, I was in the country.
As a Bitcoin podcaster, finally spending Bitcoin, how did it feel?
For the record, I've bought a lot of things.
I know
with Bitcoin.
You have, but in person.
I've bought some things in person with Bitcoin, but
what?
Things. I don't have a list, but no, the point is that you're in El Salvador. Like, you're in a place where they've basically, as sanely as possible, said use Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Like, they're advocating for it. In theory, I mean, I don't know where that Bitcoin goes, right? Like, if you're using some services, a lot of services just use Bitcoin as the payment rails, and then it gets converted into dollars, whoever's receiving it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what the government of El Salvador is doing for that entrance fee. So there's that. But fundamentally, if they're not doing that, and they're actually just, they have a Bitcoin wallet somewhere or a Lightning node somewhere that's just collecting all these payments.
That's my guess.
Maybe.
Well, I guess this charge has always existed. So
Yes, the charges always existed. This is just another payment method.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Okay.
But if you were an enterprising country, you might move, you might actually divert that Bitcoin and keep it separate, right? Like, but I don't think that any of that matters right now because, like I said, if you have your phone and you can spend money, at least everywhere that I went, you can spend Bitcoin everywhere that I went. Like, I technically only needed my passport and my phone for this trip. And I probably could have bought a new wardrobe and places to live. And, you know, you don't need to bring anything. This is like the dream of like traveling, right? You just kind of up and leave. And wherever you go, you can get the things that you need. It's just that now you don't need a wallet. You just need a phone.
Yeah, it's got to be a traveler's dream.
Yeah, like the phone has dematerialized your wallet, basically. So yeah, that's, I mean, overall, that's pretty cool. But you know, that was just, that's like how they get you right away. But it's not like obvious, right? And I think I said this in the last episode, but one of the things that I learned on this trip is that Bitcoin is a great word. Every time I said the word Bitcoin, people would like look up and pay attention. And it became like a unique transaction, a unique interaction with somebody.
Do you feel that way here?
I don't pay with Bitcoin for anything.
But yet. When you're just saying that word Bitcoin, I feel like people are like, oh, that Bitcoin thing.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, I'm in a country that I, for the most part, don't speak the language. So like they have, for example, at this airport, like they had all the payment methods, and I'm sure if I just showed them a card or something, they would have produced a card reader, and you're going to make the transaction happen. But the word Bitcoin like catches people's attention because they know that it's like something new. And for the most part, I don't know how much everyone knows, but like the people who do know that like this is a unique thing about my country. So they almost like take pride in it. I don't know if pride's the right word, but it's like people look up, you see their eyes.
They're literally looking at you like, oh, this is a Bitcoiner that came here.
Yeah.
It's also telling them a lot about you.
Yes. And so there's just a lot of information packed in that word about you, and their reaction to that word is a lot of information packed as well. And so it's a programming term that I'm going to use, but it's like a handshake. Right? Like in computers, they have to like establish a connection between two computers before you can transfer data.
That's so romantic.
And so Bitcoin in El Salvador, in my opinion, is like this like person-to-person handshake when you just say the word. What? So yeah, all I'm trying to get at is that Bitcoin is like this word that establishes a connection with a person immediately. And it's either, yes, I understand what that is. I understand what that means. I know you probably have a certain set of values and beliefs and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And or their reaction is like, ugh, and you're just like, and I only had that really happen. I'm not gonna say that happened exactly like that, but one person, when I said, can I pay in Bitcoin, they kind of just looked at me and then were like, no.
Oh, really? What was that for?
It was just like a convenience store. And I don't know. He said his app wasn't working and I wasn't gonna argue. It just seemed like his excuse for saying no, but I was like, fine, whatever. Like, I don't have to use your services, right?
Oh, you just didn't.
So I walked around the corner to another one and just bought it there.
Ah.
And I said, Bitcoin. She said, great. She like pulled out her phone. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Like, I know that guy didn't see that interaction, but that doesn't matter. Right. It's like, if you're a Bitcoiner, your app will be working.
I love that you were like, no, I'm here to spend Bitcoin, not dollars. Yeah.
I had no other way to pay him. I only had my phone. So it's like, that was part of the like experiment. When I would walk out the hotel, I would take my phone and survive. I mean, it wasn't a big town, but like, you know, but yeah, so that's the thing that I like observed. It's like this handshake. And I think that's really cool. I think in the past, for example, religions were like that, right? Where if you were a Christian and you encountered another Christian, all you had to say was, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that established like that social contract handshake. And so if someone says they're not a Christian, you might do the same thing. You might walk around the corner and just buy your services, you know, from a Christian.
I'm sure a lot of people do that.
Yes,
their own people. Yeah.
Yes, but I'm saying that like, as a person who's not religious, I observed that same type of interaction with people.
So where did you go exactly? Break it down for us.
Well, I went to Bitcoin Beach. It's called El Zante is the El Salvadorian name. Bitcoin Beach is the label that Bitcoiners have put on top of that. And I went to the capital, San Salvador.
So you stayed in El Zante the whole time?
Yes.
And
very hot.
Very hot.
Can't stress it enough.
What was the temperature?
I don't know. Very hot.
You like, we didn't even have the energy to look up the weather app.
There's no
point. Like 100?
It doesn't matter. It was extremely hot. Like whatever number they would have shown me, it wouldn't have matched what it felt. Mm-hmm. Like it was hot.
So correct me if I'm wrong. It's like a surf town.
Zante is a surf town. It's on the coast, obviously Bitcoin Beach. And there's a bunch of little towns. They're all surf towns. Mm-hmm. Two or three towns up is like where they have like world championship surfing competitions and stuff like that.
And you were saying it's small. And one of the reasons it is Bitcoin Beach is because it didn't have a bank. Like it doesn't have a banking infrastructure or things. It's a very small place.
Yeah. I think I only saw one ATM.
And someone like anonymously donated money, right, to this beach town so that they'd build up their Bitcoin infrastructure.
I mean, it wasn't anonymous, but yes, someone.
Okay. Oh.
Someone came in and said, here's some money. I want to run this experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, how many people there, percentage-wise, were Bitcoiners?
Again, it was a surf town, so there was a lot of surfers there. They're not Bitcoiners. It's a beach town, so there were a lot of tourists there. I didn't talk to everyone, but I would imagine that most of them were not Bitcoiners or there to spend Bitcoin or have anything to do with Bitcoin. But on one of the nights, there was like a dinner in front of this like pupuseria and across the street from this place called Hope House that does all this stuff for kids in the town about like teaching kids Spanish, teaching kids English, and just a lot of other events they do for the kids in the town. Because again, it's not like Tamarindo; it's a town that people live in.
Correct. Yeah.
So like at 4 o'clock every day, there's a bunch of kids running around on bikes and you know wearing school uniforms. I don't know where they come from or came from, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden they'd just be like full of kids. And I was like, oh, you don't see that when you're on vacation, mm-hmm. you know, you don't see a bunch of kids in school uniforms at Ocean City. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure people live there, but no one's.
Everyone's on vacation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's that. So Hope House is like a big part of Bitcoin Beach. And then they actually have a co-working space there. I noticed that like on the last day I was there. But at that Bitcoiner dinner, I would say maybe there was, I mean, it'd be aggressive to say 20 mm-hmm. people, but maybe more than 30, it was probably 30 people.
So not a lot.
Not a lot. But I mean, a significant portion of them, I would say like 5 of them weren't Bitcoiners. Like one of them was and brought a bunch of his friends mm-hmm. who were like investors, I guess. They were people who, you know, like the FIRE movement, financial independence people, you know?
Okay.
So he was a Bitcoiner and he brought some of those guys with him. Wasn't a lot of people, but they were interesting people, you know, a lot of couples.
That's really cool. So tell me, like, what was interesting about any of these people? What were they saying about Bitcoin?
I would say these were people that you would kind of encounter at any meetup where it's just like any Bitcoin meetup where we're just like talking about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. I think the only difference is that these are people that have made the quote unquote pilgrimage to El Salvador.
Oh, these weren't locals.
No. There was one local.
Mm, oh, I see. These people were all on vacation.
No. Not everyone's on vacation. Some people were just there for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So some people were there for a couple of weeks. Some people were there for a couple of months. There was one guy I met that I think he's been there, you know, for maybe a couple of years. But what I'm saying is that like not every person who's into Bitcoin has been to El Salvador.
I haven't been.
Right. So like to just be around a bunch of people that are actually in El Salvador at Bitcoin Beach, like that's what makes them unique.
I haven't really thought
about like how it made me feel. I'm just stating that like the uniqueness of having a Bitcoin meetup at Bitcoin Beach.
Was it satisfying? Because you do go to Bitcoin events here in America and they aren't always
satisfying is a relative term. I don't expect to have like amazing connections with people at meetups. Like that's just not like an expectation of mine. But what I always most of the time come away with whenever I go to Bitcoin meetups or events is like, I must be way into this more than other people. Yeah.
Really?
There's no like, I believe that. Levels. Like I would say like I'm a level 4, level 5 or whatever. But like I hear people say
you host a podcast about it.
Sure. But like I hear someone say something about something, you know, they'll say something like, I don't have a great example, but let's say, for example, lightning.
Right. I was thinking like they don't know what it is or they don't understand.
It's not that they don't know what it is. It's that like I run a full node in my basement mm-hmm. and can make payments in El Salvador from my Lightning node.
Yeah, you can. And that's my man.
So I can do that, right? But most people can't or don't even know what that is. Just for an example, right?
Yeah, I know.
Even if you're into Bitcoin, you're like, I know what Lightning is. And they might use like Albi wallet or something. Like, they'll use Lightning, but they're not that deep into it. And then the people will talk about like making money off their nodes. And, oh, I heard you can make all this money. And I'm like, well, I know the answer because I'm actually doing it, right?
Because of the encouragement from your wife.
Sure. If you want to
be honest.
No, I wanted to understand the technical aspect of the Lightning Network. And in order to do that, you had to be a part of the network. So I needed to understand Lightning by running a node. I wasn't doing it to make money. I could see how you could make money if you sat down and like was like, I'm going to make this node make money, but I wasn't doing it for that. Now, that being said, in our example, like I could have been making more, have just making a couple quick changes, which I did, and we are making a little bit more now, but it's still not like making us money like you were saying. Yeah. Oh, it can make money.
Yet.
Yeah, but like, for example, like it made like 7,000 or 8,000 Satoshis in a week, right? Just by making a couple of tweaks to it.
That's like 3.5 dozen eggs.
I mean, that's like $3 or $4, yeah. Right? Anyway, I say all that to say like everything I always come away from those meetups is like, I am really, really, really into this.
Yeah.
And I want to know all aspects of it. And most people are just like, Bitcoin, it's the best money. That's good enough for me. It's doing what I need it to do. And I'm just here to like, you know, live my life and not, it's not that I don't care about all of it. It's just like, I have my lane and I'm good with what I know. And for me, I'm just always trying to keep up with everything. It's a lot harder to keep up with everything as like more things come out.
There's so many rabbit holes.
Yeah, like a lot of Bitcoiners are very skeptical of Nostr, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm over here
loving it,
secretly building an app, right? Like, so
secrets
like,
out.
But I'm over here like saying like, oh no, these things definitely go together like peanut butter and jelly. And any Bitcoiner who doesn't see that eventually will, right?
You know, I'm glad you're seeing things this way because it's not. Yeah, I get a lot of people start podcasts. But I really did think that it was a waste for you to be collecting all of the information that you are and pulling it in together. Like, yeah, it's not normal how much you research this stuff and think about this stuff. Not normal meaning it's abnormal. I just mean like it's special and you're really insightful and you're really smart. And yeah, like I really do think that our listeners respect and like value your opinion on stuff, but I also think you are just covering a lot of ground and hopefully like a short, concise way. You know, that's how I see it. So I'm not, I'm very surprised that there aren't a ton of Bitcoiners in El Salvador. And that wasn't like, I thought you'd be like, and then I met this person, I met that person and I learned so much, you know, that doesn't seem to be kind of it seems like you were teaching a lot of people things while you were there.
I mean, you could look at it like that. I did learn a lot, not being directly showed something new, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times the way that I learn is through experience itself, like going to El Salvador and just seeing it for what it is. Like no one can tell me that. No one can teach me that. There are a lot of Bitcoiners there in the sense that it's a very small town and on a night, 20 or 30 people can show up. Right. Like that's pretty decent. And everyone walked there. It's not like this is not like a driving situation. Right. But at the same time, like there are some people that have actually moved there and are starting businesses there. And like that's very different. Right. So when I got off the plane, I just randomly walked out the airport, got a taxi and said, take me to El Zante. I didn't even have a hotel. So like I'm in the car and I'm like trying to just Google a place to be like to tell the taxi to take me to. And I'm like, I'll figure it out. So when we get to El Zante, there's basically two sides of El Zante. There's like a river that goes through the middle of it. And he turned down the first turn. And as soon as we pull in, there's like this bright, brand new building. Like nothing is new. Nothing. Well, there's a couple of new things on the drive there, but like nothing is new. And then there's this like bright white building that says the Bitcoin Hardware Store. And I'm just like, what is that? Like, I've been following El Zante for a while, and I had no idea what that was. But then the driver, like, looks at his phone and goes, oh, wait, we made the wrong turn. So he, like, flips a U-turn and drives back out.
Wait, take me back.
And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how far we're going when he, like, doesn't continue on. But he was just going to the other side of the river. So he goes back out and goes down and drops me off at the hotel. So I go to the hotel. It's literally on the ocean called Olas Permanentes. I don't know what that means in Spanish. I'm sure I can Google it. I'm checking in and the woman doesn't speak English, right? But we're using Google Translate and it's going fine. And she's laughing and I'm, you know, like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't speak Spanish.
Lo siento.
Yeah. And so she works it all out. And then she's like, you know, how do you want to pay? And I said Bitcoin. And this was like the first time that I actually, well, this is the second time, but the first time I actually had that thought that I just said. Because when I said Bitcoin, she like perked up and like started looking around for a different device, obviously, because mm-hmm. she had like her normal little credit card reader. And it was like over to the side. It was like a phone. She grabs the phone. She types it in. She like holds it up. I scan it. Boom, paid. And like she smiles. She's like, thank you. And I was like, yeah, cool. She gives me the keys. I go check in. But like the way that she responded was just like, it caught my attention. And so then I drop the bags off. I go to like find something to eat. And they had like a restaurant at the hotel. So I sit down and the guy comes over, hands me a menu. And I was like, I'll just have a beer. Okay. Brings me the beer. And then I go to pay. He's like, no, you go pay. Like at the place that I checked in, it's like, we give you a receipt. You go pay there. Okay, cool. So I finish the beer. I walk over there and I hand her the receipt. She kind of remembered me, but she didn't. And then I was like, Bitcoin. And then she like perked up again. And so I was like, okay, like it's not Spanish. That's not a Spanish word. You know, why does that catch her attention? And like that's where that thought started was with her. And then, like I said on the last episode, like there's a group chat for the Bitcoin halving party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had mentioned in there that I was going and I was like, hey, like, where should I stay?
Mm-hmm.
And so someone was like, you need to hit up Ronnie. Like mm-hmm. he does like rentals there or whatever. So I messaged Ronnie on Twitter when I landed and I emailed and I did all this stuff. But Ronnie responded like later in the evening. He was like, yeah, come up to the Bitcoin hardware store. And I was like, he's like, do you know where that is? Or he like tried to give me directions. I was like, oh, I know where that is. Like, so I was like, the only thing I know where that is.
Skipped over.
So like I walked over there and the Bitcoin hardware store is very interesting. Basically, Ronnie and this guy, Jamie, opened a store that exclusively sells what you need to like hold your Bitcoin in self-custody. So they sell cold cards. They sell jades. They sell foundation passports. They sell seed signers, which are like these like build your own hardware signing devices.
What about the little gift you got yourself? The not so little gift you got?
Oh, I mean, well, that technically wasn't for sale.
Really?
Yeah, that wasn't for sale. So I got a block clock is what Mandana is referring to. If you've ever seen a Michael Saylor podcast or anything Bitcoiner, you've probably seen a clock in the background that has like the Bitcoin block height and the price. Like that's called a block clock. So they just had one in the store
mm-hmm.
and they were selling like they're called block clock minis.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was, you know, buying stuff, I was like, you know, I really want a block clock, but I don't really want the mini, like whatever. And Ronnie was like, we'll sell you the other block clock. And I was like, it's your only block clock. He's like, doesn't matter. Like
he's like, you're not getting it. I want money.
Yeah, right. So I was like, I sat there for a second. I was like, well, let me think about this. Like,
it's not cheap.
How am I going to get it back? Like, it's not fragile, but it's not sturdy. And I was like, I can figure this out. I was like, I'll take it. So then this was like, I'm literally the day before I came back. Ronnie like gets on the phone and calls Jamie and they were talking about something else. But I just hear him say to Jamie, like, Ian's taking the block clock.
That's so funny.
I was like, I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it. No one's taking anything. But yes, they sell all this stuff that's like exclusively for Bitcoiners. The thing that I thought was really cool is that they sell, you know, like, well, you don't know per se, but when you generate a hardware wallet, you get your 12 words or your mm-hmm. 24 words and you write them down, right? That's like, you know, write them down. Well, you know, you're like hardcore, you literally like etch these things into metal, mm-hmm. right? So that if your house burns down, it doesn't burn up the paper that you wrote it down mm-hmm. on. So they sell that. And then like to do the actual like stamping or whatever, they like rent that out.
Mm-hmm.
So both times, Well, two of the times that I was there, like someone had come and like rented it out to like do that. To your point, like there's Bitcoiners, there's people there that are like going there, buying this hammer, these steel plates, this little alphabet.
You're right. Like right? There's definitely market for it. Why else would they have a store?
Well, this is the first, from what I understand, the first of its kind in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. But this is what's
going on. Ronnie. Or is that Jamie? Jamie runs the hardware store.
Ronnie and Jamie are doing it together.
Oh, that's sweet.
Ronnie, as he would say it, is like the face of the store. Mm-hmm. And Jamie is like the business of the store.
Love it.
Right? So
Ronnie's the Mandana.
Yeah, sure. That's probably the Mandana that knows how to build seed signers. Yes. Hey, gang. It's Ian. Let's chat for a second. Bitcoiner or not, I know we're all feeling anxious to save more money lately. But do you want to know why you're feeling that way? It's because you're still thinking in fiat. Seeing the price of everything go up in your local currency, that's what's driving you crazy. That's where all this anxiety is coming from. Meanwhile, the reality is everything is actually getting cheaper on Bitcoin Island. And you might ask yourself, how do I get to Bitcoin Island? Simple. Bitcoin Island is just a state of mind, and you need to train your brain to think in Bitcoin. Your first training exercise is to set a Bitcoin goal using the Satoshi Savings Calculator made by yours truly. And your goal should be to always have more Bitcoin today than you did yesterday. It's literally that simple. This way, the amount of Bitcoin you have only goes up. And once you start to think in Bitcoin, over time, everything around you becomes cheaper. You'll be way more confident about the future. No more anxiety. Look, we don't need to overcomplicate this. You're still early, but you gotta be strategic. And you gotta unlearn everything they taught you about money. So go to flirtingwithbitcoin.com and train your brain to think in Bitcoin with the Satoshi Savings Calculator. So yeah, like the Bitcoin hardware store, I understood what it was. Well, once I walked in, I saw it was actually in there. But like Ronnie's like giving me the spiel and I'm like, dude, like no. Like as soon as I walked in the door, I knew what this
was.
You're
like, I got it. How did you feel emotionally?
I was saying the same thing to Napoleon that I said to Ronnie. I was like, I know you guys are like in it and you're just like trying to make this thing work. You know, like Napoleon's doing his Bitcoin BitDriver business. Ronnie and Jamie are doing this hardware store. And in their minds, it's like, it's a business. I'm trying to just succeed. And in my mind, I'm like, no, this is going to succeed.
This is revolutionary.
Well, it's not even revolutionary. It's just like, this is going to succeed, number one. Number two, like we're so early that when people tell the story of El Salvador becoming Bitcoin country, like you are part of that story. And that's why I thought it was so cool. I was like, this is literally, I don't know what it's called in, I kept saying like El Zante is like Mecca to Bitcoiners. Mm. And eventually everyone will make a pilgrimage there because technically El Zante leads to the first country saying Bitcoin is legal tender. Someone was able to run the experiment, prove it enough that the government came in and said, that seems to actually work for the people. Let's do that. And so personally, I was just really excited to be there and to say that I've been, I did my pilgrimage. But also like, as we've talked about in the previous episode, like a lot of El Salvadorians don't even know that El Zante is Bitcoin Beach and that all this stuff is going on there. So like it's specifically for Bitcoiners, and it's only about an hour away from San Salvador. So I guess people drive that a lot. I mean, that's like DC to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it's within striking distance of the capital. So in general, I think you're probably going to have more Bitcoiners in the capital because that's where most commerce is going to happen.
Right. That makes sense.
So while there'll be a lot of Bitcoiners in the capital, when it starts clicking with them and they start wanting these things like hardware wallets and stuff like that.
Yeah, you franchise, you open a bunch of stores, done.
Well, you could franchise it.
Or do it yourself.
However you want to do it, what I'm getting at is that what the Bitcoin hardware store does that I think is really cool, it does the thinking for you.
It picks which is best, what's available.
It's not, I guess I would argue like, it's not picking what's best. It's just picking like, these are actual Bitcoin tools, right? Like when I came into Bitcoin, I bought two ledgers. They don't sell ledgers at the Bitcoin hardware store because Ledger can store a bunch of crypto on it.
Ah.
And Ledger did a bunch of shenanigans, right? Yeah, yeah, so yeah, like, yeah. the things that they were offering for sale are legit Bitcoiner products.
Purist Bitcoiners approved.
This isn't even a purist thing. It's a, for example, crypto is not legal in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin is.
Right.
They've actually separated the two, right? So like, I don't think this is 100% true, but like in theory, you could argue that like ledgers are not allowed in El Salvador. Now that's probably not true at all,
yeah.
But like fundamentally, like crypto is not legal.
It's an unnecessary vulnerability.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so cold cards, jades, seed signers, passports, like those are all Bitcoin only. The community on the internet has already established like these are good. And so they just were like in the physical form in this store. You could touch it. You could feel, you could see like, I like this one more than the other. That's a thing that I don't think anyone really, that doesn't exist anywhere that I know of. Maybe there's a hardware store mm-hmm. like this in San Antonio, but in Austin. But what I kept thinking was like, this would never work in DC. Like I would never have enough customers. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. You know, I do have a theory that a lot of Bitcoiners are quiet.
Maybe. But what I'm saying is that like to pay the rent
mm-hmm.
of commercial space in DC,
good luck.
You're not going to have enough customers. There might be a bunch of Bitcoiners here, but they've probably already all purchased mm-hmm. their own stuff online, number one. Number two, like because of the problem that the Bitcoin solves in El Salvador versus the problem that Bitcoin solves in the States, which is fundamentally the same problem, but there's that knowledge gap as well because it's different to have like crappy banking system versus no banking system.
Mm.
So even with a crappy banking system, you have some financial literacy, right? Might not be, you know, fully understanding the system, but you have some versus people who are going from cash only, skipping credit cards and all that stuff basically, and going straight to Bitcoin, which I'm not saying all El Salvadorians don't have credit cards, but like most people just operate on cash.
Interesting. And you know, credit cards are so annoying and there's so many added fees and things like that. So, you know, not having any of those things probably makes adoption painless unless your app's not working.
Yeah. I mean, that alone, you know, I had like an experience where I was trying to buy a t-shirt and I accidentally, it looked like it didn't go through. So I was like, try it again. And we tried it again and that didn't go through. And I was like, all right, let me just go grab cash. And then when I came back, she was like, oh, they both went through. So I bought two shirts and she was like, you could take another one. And I was like, she's like, well, I'll send it back to you. Cause again, it takes like less than a penny to send it back and forth. And I was like, no, I'll get another. Mm-hmm. So like I got like it wasn't a Bitcoin shirt. It was just a El Zante like surf and pupusa shirt or something like that.
Ooh.
But yeah,
tell me about the pupusas.
Pupusas are great.
That's all you got to say? The best you've ever had because they're in El Salvador.
I mean, I've had a pupusa in DC. I can't remember if it was better or worse mm-hmm. than in El Salvador.
It was made by an El Salvadorian though, so.
But no, I mean, the thing that I think is hilarious about pupusas is just they're, in my opinion, they're cheap, but fundamentally they're actually the cost of food,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So like the one place that the Bitcoin dinner, whatever it was at, was in front of this pupuseria. You're there to basically support a local business. So that's what you're going to eat.
Right.
You're going to buy it from her. I didn't really know what the standard ingredients in a pupusa were. So I was just like, there's no menu. You just go tell her what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a little like back and forth. And finally I was just like, surprise me. Right? So yeah, there's basically like cheese and beans. So frito con queso.
Good job.
There's just cheese. So con queso. And then there's beef.
Carne.
Yeah, beef and cheese, beef, beans and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's all variations.
I understand, baby. Right, we don't need to go on this level of detail.
But the point is that like, that was like my first interaction. Once I understood like that's how you order, then mm-hmm. I could order them all the time, right? She brought them to me and then like I went to pay and I said Bitcoin, same thing happens again. Eyes light up. It wasn't her, but her husband. She like points at him. He like whips his phone out. He's like smiling. Like he punches it up. Then he shows it to me. And I'm like, it was like 7,000 sats.
Mm, cheap.
And I was full.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And so like, I just kind of laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of laughed because I'm sure a lot of people have done this with him. And I was like, whatever, right? And I paid the guy. And then, like I said, everyone was out there like just mingling when it was over. And that's when I learned that like some of the guys weren't actually Bitcoiners. They were like with somebody that was a Bitcoiner, and they were all going to go to the like party beat, which is called Tunco. And they were like, ah, oh, you should come. And I was like, I didn't come here to party. And they were like, no, but like this town is dead after 8 o'clock. I was like, that's great.
Yeah. You're like, I came to Bitcoin.
That's great. Like, I'm like, everyone went to bed. That's great. Like, I'm going to bed too. And so when I was leaving, I met another guy, another character named Adar. And he was a person who's been living there for a while. He had his dog with him. So obviously he was planning on staying. But he was from Toronto. A lot of people there are from Canada that I ran into, a lot of Canadians. And a lot of Canadians that I think if you have the same conversation with them, they all basically say like, yeah, after the protest, I realized I had to get
out. So they're moving or they're just spending long time, you know, vacations.
They're working on their residency to El Salvador.
I see. Yeah. And are they thinking the beach or, yeah.
Just out of Canada into El Salvador.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll work out the details later, right?
Yeah.
But
it's
like,
hot though. I hope they're doing well.
I mean, they made their choice. Like, yeah. If it's hot, they'll pick somewhere else.
Yeah.
But no, like that seemed to be That seemed to be the move. And yeah, so like another person that I met. So Ronnie was the first guy that I met there. That was a Bitcoiner at the Bitcoin hardware store. And then I like walked down into town trying to find you know, like just where are the people, you know? And I came across this little like restaurant or whatever you want to call it, shack really, but it was a restaurant on the beach. And there was like a guy in the kitchen, you know, like cooking food. I was like, oh, hey man, you know, like, you know, I see your menu. It's written in English. So obviously you're kind of catering to Western
me,
right? And he was a really cool guy. His name's Oliver. And he was like, oh, sorry, man, we're not open. I'm just like prepping for tomorrow. And I was like, okay. He's like, but I can make you like a drink. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, you know, whatever. I just got here just walking around, talking to people. And Oliver was really interesting too. Like he came to El Salvador to open a restaurant. He did not go there as a Bitcoiner. And I hope I'm not butchering his story, but basically like he wanted to open a restaurant in Canada, but realized that he couldn't. It was just going to be too expensive and he likes to surf. And so A to B, he ends up opening a restaurant in El Salvador, in El Zante. And then the Bitcoin came to him. So someone told him, hey, you're at Bitcoin Beach. Hey,
he
you should
come
take Bitcoin.
That's yeah, so interesting. Yeah, yeah. So what did he say about Bitcoin?
You know, he was like, I was skeptical first, but you know, people want to do it, so whatever. And then like he's like, yeah, but now I get it. He's like, now I get it. And so like we talked about the idea of having a restaurant and how it works, how it like helps the business. And you know, he was saying, like, as all Bitcoiners will say, oh, I wished I had pushed in more. Mm-hmm. He had mentioned like he had like been holding some stuff in cash because he was going to buy, I think, a motorcycle or something. He was going to buy like transportation. I'm going to say a car or a motorcycle. And then Bitcoin like ran up like 20%. He was like, oh, I should have had it in there. Like, why was I thinking? It's like
you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve.
Yeah. But no, it was just like, I'm just keeping it outside for like, I'm just not going to put it in versus I could have just left it there until I actually needed the dollars. Right. Mm-hmm. And so or bought it in Bitcoin from the person. Right. So like that was kind of funny, but he was really cool too. So I'd definitely like to get Oliver on the show if we could work that out. I got his number and he agreed. So I'd like to hear his full story. Like I don't want to.
Very cool.
Cause he just sounded like a interesting person that Bitcoin kind of found.
Yeah. Very interesting person.
Ronnie.
Like opens a shack on the beach in a country he's not from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what do you mean this is Bitcoin Beach?
Yeah,
you didn't Google it?
But I said this in the last episode too. Like, I think the surfing culture and Bitcoiners are actually very similar, and they're just parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they intersect at El Zante. But I'd like to get Oliver on the show. I'd like to get Ronnie on the show. And if I could get Ronnie on the show, I'd like to get Ronnie and Jamie on the show since, you know, they're doing hardware store together. But yeah, no, like there's some really interesting people in El Zante.
Well, we definitely have to put like their information in our show notes for anyone who's going to El Zante, link up with them for sure.
Yeah.
Sound like great people.
Yeah. The other business that Ronnie runs is El Zante Rentals. And so there's a lot of things that you can find on, you know, Google Maps or I guess mainly Google Maps that when you try to book through Google Maps, it says contact the property, right? Well, Ronnie like has connections with all those properties and will kind of like find places for you. So they'll call around and say, hey, do you have any openings or whatever? And he'll kind of put it together for you. So he actually found me a place to stay for a little bit. It was nice, but it was like bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. That's you, babe. Minimalism.
Yeah.
There's a little too much minimalism for you.
No, you missed our house with all the things in it. No, no, no. Just like, everything there is just very different levels of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so from one place to the other, it was just a very big change. If I had just stayed there to begin with, I would not have even thought the thoughts.
First hotel was fancier.
The first hotel was nice. Second hotel was fancy. And then that place was like less nice than the first one.
Mm.
Right. So it was like a double step down. But you're right on the beach.
Makes it all worth it.
Yep.
This sounds like a great trip, babe, but I like think it made a lot of sense that you went without me because you were just like out there yapping. And, you know, when I'm on vacation, I just want to relax.
Yeah, this was
this is not a vacation.
This would not have been your cup of tea.
Yeah.
There was no structure. There was no plan.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
Literally day to day adventure.
But I'm glad. I'm really glad that you called it a pilgrimage because that's what it was for you. And I feel like you've been longing to be in El Salvador, just like as you described. So I'm so glad you had that. And I'm excited to go with you in like, I don't know, 6 weeks. Is that right? It's kind of crazy.
Six, maybe less.
Maybe less.
Like, you know, it's a week and then four and then a week. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, six. The math adds up.
Yeah, the math is mathing.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I think this perspective is really interesting. I'm curious to see if other people have the same impression as you who have gone to El Salvador, or does anyone go to El Salvador the way that you did?
No, I kept telling everybody, like, I literally bought my ticket at 2 a.m. and got on the 5 a.m. flight. And they were just like, oh, you just came.
Yeah, you were like, I'm going.
I was like, yeah, I didn't even know if I was going to get through, if they were going to let me through, because like I was checking, like, do I need a visa? And it said no. So I was like, okay, but it seemed like maybe sometimes you do. I don't know. But you don't need a visa if you're in the States. It's a 90-day. When you buy that thing, it's like $12.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you 90 days.
Oh, so are we good for when we go back? Or you are good? That's 90 days.
I lost the ticket. Like,
Ian, $12. Like, that could be, we could buy Bitcoin with that $12.
I did buy Bitcoin with that $12. And I gave it to the government. And I gave it to El Salvador.
All right. Well, I'm really enjoying this series. I'm learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of unpack. I want you to think about your feelings, babe. I'm going to keep asking about your feelings because this is a big deal. This trip was a big deal for you. Maybe you just haven't processed it.
I will say one thing. Today, I watched President Bukele's speech at CPAC. I don't know what CPAC stands for. It's Conservative Political Action Committee, I think.
You just crushed it, babe. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. I mean, you know, PAC usually means that.
So basically, it's like the conservative of America politically, they put on a conference every year. Yeah.
Yeah. And conservative has been loosely defined for a while. But Bukele gave a speech there. And what I will say about his speech is that if I hadn't gone to El Salvador, I don't think his speech would have registered. Having gone to El Salvador and then see, like, because his speech happened after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, like, give me something.
I'm trying to. Like, his.
You can give me a feeling if you can't give me a fact.
No, like, his speech is what I've been thinking about El Salvador. It's how I've been thinking about El Salvador. And it literally reinforced everything that I'd been thinking up until going, everything that I saw there. And yeah, like, it's way worse here than we actually think.
Mm. With that, I'm going to leave us with a cliffhanger for part 3 of our series. Next time, I want to talk about your general impression of what's going on in El Salvador.
Okay. Just general? I think it's great.
No, I want to understand what you think about the decisions that El Salvador has made around Bitcoin and how it's impacting the country and where you, what you think is going to happen, what you, how you think it's impacted the people so far, what it's going to take.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. I know you think it's great, but it's more nuanced than that. And there's the actual experience of the people is very different from like headlines and things like that. I mean, you were able to talk to a lot of people that actually were in El Salvador before Bukele was president.
Yeah, I will say that the country itself, when you get off the airplane, you get out the airport, and you're on your way into El Salvador, it doesn't look like anything else in Central America. It looks exactly like Costa Rica, maybe worse. It looks exactly like it looks like, oh, you could do some work here, mm-hmm. you know? But what I will say is that what is happening is a lot of infrastructure to be built on top of that people probably aren't looking for, right? They're expecting, I think people are expecting more. And if you don't know the history of El Salvador, you don't understand like what they're...
How far they're coming, far they've already come.
Well, what they're coming up from.
Yeah.
Like it's a war-torn country,
mm-hmm.
but we don't call El Salvador a war-torn country. It's literally, okay, this sounds really messed up, but what you see in Ukraine is what they're coming out of.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yes, it was very bad there. And all we know about El Salvador is the gangs. But there was a lot of other stuff that happened there that they are rebuilding from. And if you don't know that part of the story, you're kind of like, what's wrong here?
Mm. All right. Well, let's not leave off on a negative note. Let's leave on a positive note.
I think that's a very positive note. Like, they are already the most popular country in the world. Like, that is worth so much.
What makes you say that?
The president of El Salvador spoke at CPAC.
That makes them the most popular?
Name another president of a Central America.
I mean, I would think Italy is popular. People are going to Italy for vacation.
They didn't invite the prime minister of Italy to speak at CPAC. I mean, and she's a conservative.
Speaking at CPAC is not...
No,
make you the most popular country.
No. I hear your pushback on that. But what I'm saying is this person is being called a dictator. Meanwhile, everyone at CPAC is cheering him on, and the things that he's saying is a warning to America, saying my country just came out of a problem mm-hmm. of like 50 years, and I'm here to warn you guys, you look like you're heading into that problem we just had. No other world leader was invited to CPAC to give that message. Like, he was invited, he came, probably at some risk, right? Like, people want to hear him speak.
Did he feel safe coming to America?
For example, we're all being marketed that we should care about Ukraine. They did not invite Zelensky to speak, right? They did not invite...
For what? He's getting his money.
But that's not my point. They have the ability to invite who they wanted, and they invited the most recently democratically elected president of Central America, who got over 84-85% of the mm-hmm. vote. Like, and he's explaining how, and he's explaining why, and he's explaining like, you guys have problems, I'm here to warn you. Like, it was a very powerful speech.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with anything you said. I just don't think that can be called popular. I think that's being called...
Google it.
People are saying Google El Salvador is the most popular country in the world.
He is the most popular president in the world right now.
That's different from El Salvador being the most popular
country
in the world.
If your president is the most popular, your country by default... When Obama became president...
Maybe. I don't know. Because like what you're saying...
He's cooler than Obama.
People are still not knowledgeable about El Salvador. Like what you just said, it's war-torn and those types of things. People don't really understand what's going on there. So
you
like when
be,
I think
you
popular...
You can be popular and not people not know
understood,
those things.
Understood, yeah. Famous people are so misunderstood.
He is the most popular president in the world. Whether you like him or hate him, everyone is talking about him, number mm-hmm. one. And so by default, they are talking about his country. Because if you're going to say you hate the guy, you got to talk about what he's doing that's so bad for his country.
You know, I got to ask some people, because I don't know if everyone is talking about Bukele right now. I don't know if that's everywhere.
Okay, I'm going to phrase it a different way.
Okay.
If you live in the West and you do not know who this guy is, you need to find out. You have to talk about him. Mm-hmm. Because... He literally fought off the IMF and George Soros.
Yeah. So, babe.
So that's positive.
Do you think that the series is going well? How's season 3 so far? How you feeling?
2 episodes in?
Yeah. What's the energy? What's the vibe? Are the vibes good? Are the vibes off?
My vibe is we need to figure out what dollar number Bitcoin has to hit so that we move to El Salvador.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've made your decision.
I mean, it could be a very big number. Mm-hmm. You could say if Bitcoin hits $10 million, we're moving to El Salvador. But I think we need to pick a number.
Well, there's my homework.
And and I don't mean like we go move there and live there as our only place of residence and we live there forever. I'm just saying that we need to spend more time there.
I understand. Yeah. Ian was like, there's this place and this neighborhood and that. So I know it's on your mind, babe. And you know what? I'm going to keep an open mind.
Okay.
My promise to you.
You also got to learn Spanish. So install Duolingo.
I think my Spanish is better at home. When I'm in a Spanish speaking country, I like freeze up, right? But I listen to a ton of music in Spanish that I sing along to, and I watch so much Spanish media. Like I watch so many TV shows in Spanish and I watch so many movies in Spanish. But when I'm in Costa Rica, I'm like, hola. Like, what is wrong with me?
I don't know. You're afraid of being wrong.
Yeah, obviously. I need to. I know you're not. You're like,
I try, but I'm like,
hola. But you say it with a smile. I know what it is. I know what it is. It's deep-seated trauma from my childhood. I grew up in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood, and I am Iranian. And so everyone thought I spoke Spanish, and I couldn't. And I was at the time learning English because I only spoke Farsi. And old women, maybe they were young, but to me they were old, would yell at me for not knowing my language because they would talk to me in Spanish and I did not know how to respond to them. And they would just yell at me and they would not speak English, which I'm sorry, you need to speak English. Like I was learning English. I know maybe this is controversial, but like you can't be yelling at children in the street because they don't speak Spanish, but you only speak Spanish. So I can't even in English be like, I'm Iranian. I speak Farsi. Like get away from me. So I'm sure because of that. That's why I freeze up when I have to speak Spanish.
Okay.
Because I didn't have that problem in France. I took French in middle school and I was like, bonjour. Like, comment that I don't even speak French anymore. That was a long time ago, but I was very confident in France when I went. Mm-hmm. But Spanish is not there for me. But maybe, you know, we can process this trauma in 6 weeks. I go to El Salvador and suddenly, like, fluency just clicks in.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Now, let's get you set up on Fountain so you can start earning some money simply by listening to podcasts.
Go to fountain.fm to download the app.
Once your app is set up, search for Flirting with Bitcoin and hit follow.
Listen to our show and episodes from your other favorite podcasts to earn your first Satoshis, which are fractions of a Bitcoin.
Make sure to keep an eye out for our promoted episodes.
You can earn up to 100 Satoshis just for listening.
Pretty cool, huh?
You can use those sats you've earned to send us a boost, like a little payment with a message.
And I swear, we try to respond to everyone.
Every episode, we shout out the top boosters.
To support us or other podcasters with more sats, you can top up your Fountain wallet with a bank card or Lightning transfer from apps like Strike or Cash App.
The easiest way to learn is to get started.
Now you're all set up for podcasting 2.0.